Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, author, and journalist Gary Wills has been called perhaps the most distinguished Catholic intellectual in America over the last 50 years. His lucid view of religion's role in America is unexpected and instructive.
One of the things, though, that's good about being an historian is that when you look back, things have always been bad, but in American history especially, we've had enlightened religion that respects the laws of nature, of nature's God, that takes a very rational approach to even religion. And luckily, that was ascendant at the time of the foundation of our government. The deists were in. But we have had three really outbreaks of evangelical opposition to science and reason and enlightenment. And they occurred by an accident at the beginning of three successive centuries, 19th, 20th, 21st. The beginning of the 19th was not bad. It was the Second Great Enlightenment. It was the explosion of Methodism, etc. And it came about largely because separation of church and state and the foundation of the government had given free play to religion. And it did introduce egalitarian elements into our culture. It depended on government practically not at all. It was self-starting. There wasn't much government to depend on. It did itself in over slavery. It tore itself apart over the people saying the Bible defends slavery and people saying no, it doesn't. So it ran about 30 years and ended. The second one was the beginning of the 20th century, the fundamentalists. And they depended on government much more. They said, let's get the government to impose morality. Let's say you can't drink alcohol. You can't teach the evolutional theories. You can't deliver the mail on Sunday.
Blue laws.
So that one ran only at its peak about 20 years, largely because they tried to use the government, and there was a reaction against that, especially over prohibition. And the third one was at the beginning of our century, and it has run its course, I think, in about 10 years. And it went way beyond the others in terms of using the government, so that we had things like the religious right telling the president and the Republican Congress over Terry Schiavo, jump. And they said, how high do you want us to jump? And so Congress rushed through a resolution to intervene in the situation, and Bush rushed back from vacation, got up in the middle of the night and signed it. Well, 81% of the people in America said that was inappropriate. So they overreached faster than the other ones. And I think we're seeing the end for practical reasons. Why I think it's ending is that the mechanics of this last surge of religiosity have been interesting. Homeschooling, Christian colleges. And the thing is, the Bush administration plugged into this and appointed people out of these Christian colleges to the regulatory agencies, to congressional staffs, so that even the civilian people who were sent over to Iraq were recruited by Cato Burns' husband. And the test was, are you a Republican religious person? You know, are you opposed to abortion, etc.? So people sent over there to restore banking were asked whether they believed in. Well, once you get a Democratic Congress and a Democratic administration in, that flow will be cut off. There, you won't stock the regulatory agencies and the congressional staffs. If you get the right people in to Health and Human Services, to that kind of thing, they'll insist on abstinence only. They'll insist on no condoms in AIDS help.
All over the world.
Yeah, all over the world. So they were really good at putting their people there, even putting them in a National Park Service, so that when you go to the Grand Canyon, you read that it was formed by Noah's flood. I don't think they're going to reverse Roe v. Wade because two-thirds of the American people are against doing that. And they know, they can read about prohibition and other things, that you try to cram something down people's throats and it doesn't work. The more scary one that people have talked to me about is that the last two appointments to the court were vetted by Cheney, by Vice President Cheney. And he wasn't interested in, when he talked to them about abortion, he was interested in executive privilege. All the usurpations that they've put in now, he wanted them to nail down. And total unaccountability, total secrecy. So they say, once you get those people in there, then they're going to enforce this for the indefinite future. The thing wrong with that, of course, is that if a president doesn't want to exert those rights, they have no entry into upholding them. So our only hope is getting a Democratic president who will not try to do that. And that's what the whole issue of the next election is. And, you know, what's important about Jesus is that he was the culmination of the Jewish history. And we forget that there was no New Testament at the time when the New Testament was written. And they didn't feel that they needed it. They felt that they had all the writings they wanted or needed, the sacred writings of the Jews. And so Paul, our first writer in the 40s and 50s, and he argued entirely from the Jewish scripture. He would have been horrified at the thought that the letters he wrote to five communities that were having trouble would be put off and put into a New Testament, a new Bible to be pitted against or contrasted with the one that he believed in. He said that the test of the followers of Jesus is that he had to pass on what was passed on to him, that Jesus died for our sins in accord with the sacred writings and rose on the third day in accord with the sacred writings. Those are the test. True. This is symbolic language. That's what the Gospels are really doing. They are saying, if Jesus is the Messiah, how does he connect in the symbols that tell us about the divinity and the humanity of the Messiah? And read that way, they're much more interesting for another one thing. What they do is take us into the communities that had lived with these traditions and were undergoing tremendous pressures of various sorts, persecutions, inner divisions, etc. And they're saying, what is Jesus, who's alive in us because we're his members, saying to us now in this situation? We've got four situations scattered out in the diaspora. They want to reconnect with their origins.